The epistle for this Quinquagesima Sunday is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. Brethren, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I do not have charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And if I should have prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I should have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I do not have charity, I am nothing. And if I should distribute all my goods to feed the poor, and if I should deliver my body to be burned, and I do not have charity, it profits me nothing. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity does not envy. It deals not perversely, is not puffed up, is not ambitious, seeks not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices with the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Charity never falls away, whether prophecy shall be made void, or tongues shall cease, or knowledge shall be destroyed. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away the things of a child. We see now through a glass in a dark manner, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. And now there remain faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Please stand for the gospel. The gospel is taken from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. At that time Jesus took unto him the 12 and said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things shall be accomplished, which were written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man. For he shall be delivered to the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and scourged, and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they did not understand any of these things, and this word was hidden from them, and they understood not the things that were said. Now it came to pass, when he drew nigh to Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And when he had heard the multitude passing by, he asked what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried out much more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus, standing, commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I do to thee? But he said, Lord, that I may see. And Jesus said to him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he saw, and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, today we have one of the most famous passages of the New Testament, this famous ode to charity that St. Paul gives in his address to the Corinthians. He's coming to the end of his first epistle to the Corinthians, and he's just discussed a lot of supernatural gifts, a lot of the gifts that the Holy Ghost was giving to those first members of the Catholic Church, at the beginning of the Church. And after going through all these gifts, he says, I want to explain you a better way. There's an even more effective way to reach God than these gifts. The most effective way to reach God is through the virtue of charity. He asks them to be zealous for that more excellent way. He wants to convince them that charity is absolutely necessary, that without charity, you cannot attain anything in the supernatural order. And if the church wants us to read this epistle, to have this epistle before our minds at the beginning of Lent, it's so that you may direct your Lenten practices towards one end, that when you, everything that you do during Lent, you must have this one goal in mind, and that is that you increase in the love of God. You must grow in the love of God during Lent. So, before we can obtain this objective to love God more, we must be convinced that charity, that is, in fact, the most important thing, that the love of God is the most important thing. And what I want to do is I want to take you through this epistle today and explain the three reasons that St. Paul gives why charity, the love of God, is the most important virtue and why you should pursue that above all other interests in your supernatural life. So really, if we split up this epistle into three parts, there are three reasons that St. Paul gives why charity is the most important virtue. First reason, without the virtue of charity, there is no true virtue. You have to have charity for any of your virtues to be worthwhile for heaven. Second reason is that when you practice the virtue of charity, in a sense, you practice all of the other virtues. And the third reason is that when we look at the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, charity is the only one that lasts forever. Faith and hope go away, but charity is eternal. Those are the three reasons. Let's look at them in detail. So the first reason was there's no real virtue without charity. St. Paul explains this in his very powerful way, of dictating his epistles, where he loves to list things. He just gives example after example after example to make very clear what he's getting on about. So he goes back to the spiritual gifts that he was talking about in chapter 12. He goes over some of those spiritual gifts, and he says, if you have these spiritual gifts, but you don't have charity, it's worthless. Do you have the gift of tongues, such that when you come to church, you start speaking in a different language that you do not know? Very good. But if it's not accompanied by charity, it's useless. It's worthless. Do you have the gift of prophecy or the ability to explain the truths of the faith? Well, it does you no good if you don't have charity. Do you have a very strong faith, a faith that's able to move mountains? You're able to perhaps perform miracles. Well, it's no good unless you have charity. And seemingly the strangest example of all that St. Paul gives, do you have charity towards the poor, where you give your things away, give everything you have away? Do you have charity towards God, where you become a martyr? Well, even these things are no good if they're not really charity, if they're just fake charity, if it's just an appearance. If you do these things, but there's not really any love of God behind them, you're just wanting to show off. If you do charity, you don't have charity. Likewise, it's useless. So these are the examples that St. Paul gives to show that our virtues are not really virtues. They're only apparent virtues if they're not accompanied by a true love of God. And St. Thomas, in his Summa, he explains why this is the case. Why is it that you have to have charity for you to have real virtue, for it really to be called virtue? The reason he gives is this. The things that we do are good, he says, only insofar as they help us reach our ends, our goal. If what you do does not help you reach your goal, the reason for which you are here in this life, then it's no good. But if what you do does not unite you with God in your life, if it doesn't get you towards heaven, you're made for heaven, and if what you're doing doesn't get you to heaven, doesn't lead you closer to heaven, closer to God, then it's not leading you to your goal. You're not going to your goal. You're going somewhere else. You're going the wrong direction. You don't want to be going the wrong direction. It's a bad action. Anything that does not take you towards heaven is taking you somewhere else, somewhere where you're not supposed to go. So it's not going to be good. And what is it that directs you towards God? What is it that unites you to God? It is charity. Charity is the glue that binds you to God. Nothing else does. You attain God through love of God. That's how you connect with God. And so if something you do is not motivated by a love of God, at least in some way, even in an imperfect love of God, then it's not leading you to heaven. It's not leading you to your goal. And therefore, it's no good. It profits you nothing. So that's why if you have all knowledge of the faith, you're able to explain the faith to others, you're able to convert others, and you don't actually love God, then it's no good. It profits someone else, but it doesn't profit you to reach your eternal end. You can only reach your eternal end by reaching God. You are made for God. And charity is what connects you to God. That's the first reason. Charity is supremely important because it is the means by which you attain your goal, by which you connect to God and reach heaven. The second reason that he gives why it's the greatest virtue is the fact that charity is connected to all the other virtues. It's kind of like the other side of the coin. If we said, if you don't have charity, then you can't do anything. Well, this, the other side of that coin is, if you do have charity, in a sense, you accomplish the whole of the supernatural life. So, St. Paul says this when he says, charity is patient, it's kind, charity does not envy, it's not pretentious. Charity does not rejoice over wickedness, but rejoices with the truth. Charity believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In these words, if you look at each of those things that he says about charity, you can identify various virtues that he's connecting charity with all these different virtues, with patience, kindness, humility, honesty, faith, hope, and perseverance. He's saying when you have charity, whenever you do these things, you're accomplishing these other virtues. So in other words, charity is something like a steering wheel that directs your person. It directs your very being towards the right orientation. Am I doing something that might be patient? I mean, it might be perceived as being patient. Well, if I have charity with it, charity will direct that patience towards God. Am I doing something that might be perceived as being humble? Well, if I have charity with that, charity will direct that act of humility towards God. So with any virtue that I may perform, if charity is there, it is a real virtue. If charity is there, I am practicing virtue. No matter what virtue I'm practicing, I am practicing virtue. Whereas if charity is not there, then I'm not really practicing the virtue. Charity must be there to point our being in the right direction, to point our action, whatever action we're performing, in the right direction, orient us towards God, towards the supernatural order, and so make our virtues true virtues. St. Augustine, he gives an example of someone who has apparently the four cardinal virtues, you know, the four cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. So he gives an example of a miser. And when we look at the behavior of a miser, we might think that he has the four cardinal virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. But it's just a show. They're not real virtues because of the fact that there's no true love behind them. He says, the prudence of the miser, whereby he devises various roads to gain, is no true virtue. He's always thinking about plotting how he can get more money, and he's being very prudent about it, but it's not real prudence. Nor the miser's justice, whereby he scorns the property of another through fear of severe punishment. So the fact that the miser doesn't steal from another is not for the love of God. Nor the miser's temperance, whereby he curbs his desires for expensive pleasures. Nor the miser's fortitude, whereby, as Horace says, he braves the sea, he crosses mountains, he goes through fire in order to avoid poverty. All of these things could be virtues. They are the matter for virtues, but they are not, because charity is not mixed in with them. They're not acts that are being done for the love of God, but they're being done for a merely worldly motive. So charity has to be there to direct us, point us towards God. The last reason that St. Paul gives why charity is the greatest of all virtues is that charity lasts forever, whereas the other two theological virtues, faith and hope, they go away. They do not exist in heaven. After you die, there is no faith nor hope. And we all know that we value things more when they last longer than if they do not last long. So if you go to a store and they say, here's the refrigerators we have, and this one will last you for 10 years, and this other one will last you for 20 years. You say, well, I want the one that lasts 20 years. I want something that lasts longer. Things that last longer are more valuable to us. God willing, that's why we value our souls more than our bodies. We all know what happens to our body. Our body's going to go away. Our body will be buried in a cemetery one day. There's no way that we will avoid death. Whereas our soul will live on forever. Our soul is immortal. And God willing, when we recognize that, we value our souls much more than our bodies. And we take care of our souls much more than we take care of our bodies. We are much more interested in fostering the good of our soul. So the fact is that when we apply this to charity, the charity does last forever, while these other virtues do not last forever. They go away. And St. Paul makes the comparison to illustrate his illustration. The refrigerator was my illustration. His illustration is the comparison between the child and the adult. That when you're a child, you do certain things, but they're not the ultimate things. They're not the most valuable things because they're just a means to get to somewhere else. If you're back to some Father Robinson examples, when you are a child, you put training wheels on your bike so that you can learn how to ride the bike. But once you know how to ride the bike, you get rid of the training wheels. You don't need them anymore. And when you're a baby, you know, you eat baby food and applesauce and things. But when you get your teeth, once you have your teeth, you put away the baby food and the applesauce and you start eating steak and apples and things like that. And when you're a child, you're supported by your parents. They have to take care of you. But once you're able to stand on your own, be self-subsistent on your own, you can go to work and make a living. Well, then you don't ask your parents to take care of you anymore. So when it comes to the virtues, faith and hope are like the training wheels. They are things for this earth. It's by faith that we know God. We know the supernatural mysteries. It's by hope that we trust that God will fulfill his promises. But once you get to heaven and you see God, you don't have to believe in God anymore. There's no belief in heaven because you see the things. When you see something, you're not believing in it, you're in it. There's no faith. And there's no need for trust that God will fulfill his promises when you are in heaven because he's fulfilled them. So there's no faith and hope in heaven, but there is still that love of God. You still have charity. When you're in heaven, you're loving God for all eternity. So charity is different from faith and hope since it is a virtue that's both for this life and for the next life. As a result, my dear faithful, charity is the greatest of all virtues. It connects us with God by having us love God as he is in himself. It's the virtue that is present to direct all the virtues towards the right direction, steer them towards the right direction. And it's the only theological virtue that exists both in this life and the next. And that's why when you die, as our Lord tells us, you are going to be judged on one thing and one thing only, whether or not you love God. That's the picture that our Lord portrays of us of the last judgment. He says, well, he portrays it in the context of love of neighbor. Did you feed me? Did you clothe me? As long as you did it to one of these least, my brethren, you did it to me. And those who have done this, they go to the right. They are the sheep. Those who did not, they are the goats, they go to the left. They go to eternal damnation where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And if I've said all this to you today about charity, echoing the words of St. Paul, it's in order to convince you that really you must have that virtue of charity above all other virtues. You must focus on that. You must seek to attain the love of God. Especially when you receive Holy Communion, when you have that most intimate union with our Lord Jesus Christ, you must ask Him this one thing, that you love Him, that you truly love Him, that whatever you do as a Catholic, it's not fake, that there is a pure intention, that you have a supernatural goal in what you do in the practice of your religion, that you say to Him, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I implore that I may love Thee more and more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.